more shrinkage.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the morning open. We're less than 30 minutes into the trading day. We learned this morning the nation's economy shrank by 6.1% in the first quarter, much worse than expected, and almost as bad as last quarter. Earnings reports this morning, Time Warner, Quest, and Aetna all had profits and all beat analysts' expectations, although Time Warner's profit slipped. So, where's Wall Street? Dow is up about 1.25% at this hour, 99 points. The Nasdaq up about 1.25% as well, 1.3% up for the S&P 500. European shares are up by 0.5% or more, and Asian markets closed mostly up. Let's bring in Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live from Philadelphia this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So markets responding favorably to these GDP numbers this morning, 6.1%. What's inside that number?
Well, that's exactly the key, because on the surface you would have expected the markets to be down. Well, what's inside of it is actually that consumer spending was better than I think anyone had really expected. What really drove it, the number down, the headline number down, was a lack of government spending, and I think we all know that won't continue in that direction, so it's more a matter of timing than anything else.
Yeah, and what about consumer spending going up?
And that's kind of one of those green shoots that we've been looking for, because one of the other things that depressed the number was a drawdown in inventories. In other words, companies weren't building things. They were just drawing down what they already had in stock. But that can only go on so long. When you have consumer spending, eventually you have to start manufacturing again.
I mean, why is that happening, though? Why are people spending more money?
You know, it goes down to psychology. I think we did get a good number yesterday with consumer confidence. People seem to have, at least for now, turned a little bit of the corner on consumer confidence, have come back out and spent a little bit, and that's the key to things.
So, Bill, does this mean that a turnaround is on the way?
I don't know that it's guaranteed on the way. I think it's just the probabilities are better that a lot of people like us expect the economy to at least start showing positive growth toward the end of the year. And I think if you're looking at the probabilities, our probabilities have just gotten better that will actually happen.
All right. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
All right. There's that whole thing about elephants never forgetting, but Republicans have been trying to put the past 2 years behind them with losing Congress, the White House, and now Senator Arlen Specter. So on this 100th day of President Barack Obama's administration, and amidst complaints about the lack of bipartisanship from the other side, let's talk a moment about the grand old party and its identity going forward. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
From the budget to health care to equal pay, Republicans have mostly rejected Democrats' ideas this year. But Washington policy analyst Tom Gallagher at the ISI Group says the GOP is out of step with voters and facing a tough decision.
Do you return to your roots, the small government roots of the party, or do you seek somebody who can accommodate the public's desire for more activist policies on things like the environment or health care?
Meantime, Republicans and Democrats aren't working together. The result, says Greg Casey of the Business Industry Political Action Committee, will be more stalemate unless others step into the breach.
For instance, the business community gets the fact that we have to resolve the issue of health care. People are going to step up and try to come up with some plan that does that. It's not going to be the liking of the conservatives or the liberals.
But Casey says it might be something that works. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The Centers for Disease Control says there are dozens of cases of swine flu across the country. One death was reported this morning in Houston, a 23-month-old child from Mexico who'd traveled to the United States for treatment. South of the border, the number of deaths is approaching 160. Economists worry about the outbreak's added drag to the fallout. But on this one, Marketplace commentator Robert Reich says we should all forget the pure business angle.
Many are deeply worried about what a swine flu pandemic could do to the already weakened U.S. economy. I understand their worry, but it strikes me as misplaced. The real worry is that lots of people could get sick and many could die. Thinking about a pandemic as an economic crisis assumes there's something called an economy whose health can be separated from the well-being of real people. It's like viewing the financial meltdown as a crisis for Wall Street measured in how low the Dow sinks when millions of people are losing their jobs, their savings, and their homes. In the end, an economy is nothing but people. If vast numbers of people are doing well, the economy should be judged a success. If many people are hurting, the economy is failing. Health is a big factor. The budget resolution that just emerged from a House-Senate conference fast-tracks universal health insurance, which means the upcoming bill won't be subject to a possible filibuster. This maneuver upsets those who believe the country cannot afford universal health insurance, even though we now have the most costly, inefficient, and inequitable system of health care in the world. Opponents of reform believe it will harm the economy. But if you think of the American economy as 300 million people, 44 million of whom are not insured, and many others who can barely hold on to the insurance they have, the question is not whether the economy can afford universal health insurance, but whether we Americans can continue to bear the cost of not having it. If in the months ahead we're unfortunate enough to find ourselves in the midst of a dangerous pandemic, I doubt our main concern will be its effect on the Dow or the GDP. We'll concern ourselves with how to protect those who are most vulnerable to it and how to care for those who have contracted the disease. We do well to focus on these questions right now and stay focused on how to make and keep Americans healthy.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. You can also check the numbers there. Right now, the Dow is up about 1.5%, 113 points. NASDAQ and S&P up about 1.5% each as well. Thanks for being with us this morning in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.